Presence, to your word, to your spirit, and knowing, Father, that your token has come in this hour to prepare a people, to make ready a prepared people for the Lord, and to help us to overcome and to get out of here before the things come down upon us, before the judgments of God strike the earth. Be with us, Father, and help us to understand better what it's all about in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, I'd like to take a message from Brother Graham's sermon, The Token, which we've been studying for some time now. But actually, I'd like to talk about... I'll clean it up in just a minute. I would like to talk about a central theme that runs throughout the message. That's carried throughout the sermon of Brother Graham's Token message. And I want you to follow how the sermon develops from God to God life, God life received, to God life recognized, received, to God life in you, God life acted upon, to God life throwing through you out to others, then come the judgments. Now, it's quite interesting when going back and doing a search in this one sermon, how many times this theme comes up in the sermon. And the theme I'm talking about is the relationship between the token itself and the judgments that follow. I want you to follow the progression that takes place in this sermon because it is simply quite beautiful the way that Brother Graham builds this sermon concerning the token. Now, I've got 20 pages of notes. I apologize. I don't think I'm going to hold you that long today. We'll probably break it off somewhere and then we'll follow up on Wednesday night. Because actually, after those 20 pages, I have another maybe 20 or 30 pages on this. But let me begin to read from several paragraphs. I'm going to begin at the beginning. And you'll be able to see for yourselves how often Brother Brown ties the token with the time of judgments, because that's the way it is in the Bible. Every time God brought a token, there was a purpose. There was a judgment that followed. Whether it was with Rahab, the harlot, receiving the token, and then the judgment struck her. Her town, the city where you could actually have chariot races on the walls that were so thick. I think they're 28 feet thick. And everything just fell down except for her own house. We see it in the time of Noah. We see it in the time of Moses. We see this scene run through that God sends a token. The people that enter in the token are saved from the wrath to come. Those that don't receive it, that scoff it, that turn it down, they are here, left here for the judgments. Brother Graham begins in paragraph 16 with a scriptural reference of the token and its association with the judgments of God and the token life-saving role for the believer. He says, "Now solemnly, reverently, we approach the word." Now, I wish to read this morning from Exodus, the 12th chapter, and beginning with the 12th verse, the 12th, 13th verse inclusive. And listen now closely. Then, before communion tonight, read the 12th chapter of Exodus, the entire chapter, for just the 11th verse here is a getting ready for the journey and the communion before the journey. And we want to approach this very reverently now. Now the 12th verse of the 12th chapter. "I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be for you a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall be upon you to destroy you, and when I smite you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. May the Lord bless his holy word." Now, notice here, and Brother Bradham is reading us some scripture, that God gave them something that could visibly be seen, which was the blood of the Lamb. In this hour, he gives us the token. But he says, if you don't apply it, if it's not visibly seen in your life, God's going to pass you over. So it's expedient that life of Christ be applied in your life, lived in your life, that people can look at you and they identify, yes, you're different, you're a Christian. Now notice the setting of the token concerns the judgment that are to come. The first time we see in Scripture concerning the judgments that came at the first exodus upon Egypt. Then we find in paragraph 57, Brother Brown brings to our attention that the judge was present at the time of the judgments, which only makes sense because we have in this hour, the judge came down. What does the judge do? He enters the courtroom. Okay, there's some little ceremonies, things are put in order, this and that, and then comes the sentencing. See. Now, when he becomes both judge, jury, and attorney, he pleads our case. We found guilty. We found guilty by his own law, and he came and took the guilty person's place that was in the sanctuary. He took his sin. He took it upon himself, and he died and paid the price, and shed his blood, and gave back his own token, his own life. Why? We are perfect. The case is dismissed. There's no more sin to the believer. Oh, God, have mercy if the people can't see that there's no more case. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me, he's quoting Scripture now, John 5:24, has life eternal, and shall not come to the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. There's a case. Case dismissed. No more case to it. Amen. Then safety with the token applied, when death begins to smite against the door up there, it has no control. So we see here that he lets us know that before the tribulation judgments come, when death begins to smite, and that is the key, he says, when death begins to smite at the door, that is when the token comes into full effect. Now, notice the scripture, and shall not come to the judgment. But Brother Brown says, but when death begins to smite at the door. In other words, we see it approaching. The children of Israel were under the blood, but they heard the death angel going through. God has given us by revelation to look into the visage, to see what is coming down upon the earth, and now visibly we are seeing the things of God. Everything's stacking up, everything's getting in place, like the judge has come, he's in, everything, you know, all rise to your feet, order in the court. Hallelujah. Everything being brought into order, brother, sister. You see? Therefore, according to John 5:24, the Brother Brown quotes above, we will not come to the judgment, but it looks like we will see the development of the judgments before they actually let loose on the earth. And I believe that is where we're at right now. Then in paragraph 80, he tells us the characteristic of those who go to judgments are those who do not believe his word, but on the other hand, those who actually do believe and apply that belief. In other words, he said, when I see the token. In that day it was the blood, in this day it's the life. When I see the life, I'll pass over. They are allowed to bypass the judgments. Comes right up to the door and you're gone. You're out of here. Hallelujah. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right up to the door of the great furnace. God always waits, like we read last night, always waits to see how you're going to respond. Oh, glory to God. That's where your faith comes in. Now, as I said, Brother Brown continues, paragraph 80. Then in paragraph 80, he tells us that the characteristic of those who go to the judgment are those who do not believe the word, but those who bypass are those who do believe and apply. Paragraph 80. People try to make God some big old fat doting grandfather. See? A bunch of grandkids that little Rickies and Elvises, and there's no harm in them. Not God. He has no grandchildren. He's a father. You go to be born again, you've got to be born again. He's not big and soft and doting. I'm a grandfather. Right there, in the word. All right. Just right out. Okay. He's a God of judgment. The Bible speaks he is. His wrath is fierce. Don't you trample on that and expect the goodness of God someday to take you in your sin and take you to heaven. If he'd done that, he'd excused all of this here and have took it and have took you. You'll believe his word or you will perish. And when you believe his word, the token will be upon you. Now then in paragraph 83, you see how he's building this. In paragraph 83, Brother Brown makes a case that the token is promised for each age before the judgment comes for that age. He tells us that God always sends mercy first, which is a message of repentance to the people. And those who spurn that warning are left with the judgment. And those who come into the mercy, into the message, are spared the judgment and are carried over the judgment. Now, listen. All of Egypt saw that blood on these people's doorposts, but they didn't have a clue what it was for. Do you understand? The message has gone around the world. It's been heard. Just because people say, I'm in the message, if they don't have the blood applied, if they don't have the life applied, they're not in it. They're not under the token. Paragraph 83. Now let's stop for a moment or two on that clock, a moment or two on that clock there. There's just, now think in our minds back what he promised would happen in the last days. I wonder if we hadn't just about check up to. We've done all these things and yet they still desired not to repent or to believe the message of the day. They still didn't want to do it. Although it had been displayed before them and had been surely made known, and when you see such things taking place, it's a sign of oncoming judgment. Judgment will follow those things. It's always done it, and this won't be no exception. See, judgment follows grace. When mercy is burned, there's nothing left but judgment, so it's always followed. Now, you young people in here, I know that you don't like people talking about this is the end. You know, you're young. You've got your whole life before you. You want to accomplish. You want to do this and that. Listen, run to Christ. Run to Christ. We were young too when we came to the message. Right, Peter? Steve, you remember. We were young too. We had all kinds of aspirations, and then we saw we're at the end. But not all the signs were in yet. But we knew that something there was about something about 77. We're going to get into that this morning. You're looking at, oh, I've got my whole life ahead of me. Listen, you have a whole eternity ahead of you. Amen. With a young body. Amen. Don't pass that for this. This, you're put on earth for a testing time. That's what you're here for. You're not here to sow your oats and have a good time, eat, drink, and be merry. You're here for testing time. To prove yourself as a son of God. This is what our focus is. But Brother Ram said, don't. Last night we read it many times. He said, keep your focus. There's only one thing. There's nothing we have to worry about except for having that token applied. That's it. All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. And he promised, I'm going to show you through Scripture today. We're going to start getting into it. Where he promised over 2,600 years ago, this economic boom and bust we see will take place. He promised that the economies of the world will go down. He promised that they'll come under the control of Rome. This all goes back to the days of Daniel, when God promised. Brother Brown, he promised what would happen in the last days. Judgments will follow. Those things. It always has. Now, in paragraph 99, Brother Brad continues with this thought on the token. It comes before the judgment. And the people will come from all over into the safety token. Or into the safety of the token. And they will come one by one. He said they came from all over Egypt to get under that token. And they will come one by one, he says, because of word of mouth. It wasn't some big organization. It wasn't some big publication. It wasn't a voice of God distribution that brings them in. That may get the messages out to the people. But what brings them in is the mouth-to-mouth sharing of the token message. The people that will come one by one as they always have. 99. They came from all Egypt to gather into this one place so they could be under this token. And they had come from Methodists in this hour, from Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterians and Lutherans and Pentecostals, everything else, to get under the token just exactly like it was then. It was a pillar of fire which represented them. And one told the other, another told another, another told another, and first thing you know, here they all begin to come. They begin to come and they watch the sign of God. They said, judgment's at hand. Then the prophet said, I have heard from God, there will be a token. And you put the blood upon the door, slay the lamb, put the blood upon the door, and that'll be a token, because death is fixing to strike. No death fixing to strike, no judgment's coming, no need for a token, a message. But God gives the mercy, and those who take it are saved, those who don't go through the judgment. By the time we reach paragraph 111, Brother Brown is now making it quite clear that the judgments are already being set up, and the judgments are just waiting. Then he lists some of the judgments, such as atomic war and all kinds of disasters, and he lets us know now that we must not just accept the token, but the token must be applied, or we'll be caught up into the judgments, whichever form they manifest. All you have to do is go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and you'll see all the judgments that are coming. Here he says, remember, there's a lot of them come. A lot of them come by, them women, that night and say, hey, girly, Lily, some of you, come on out. We're going to a party tonight. Uh-huh. I'm under the blood. I'm under the token to stay here. My love is to my maker. Death is in the land tonight. The death is in the land today. Judgment is waiting. She's pending atomic and hydrogens and all kinds of disasters is waiting for the nations. And God is moving his church and showing all. And we've been keeping the Lamb up now for quite a while, watching, seeing what he's doing, watching his nature and everything. But now the token's got to be applied. It's got to be applied. It's the only thing. Except a man be born of spirit and of water, he will in no wise enter in. Notice, for 14 days they had to keep the Lamb up. He said, we're watching his nature, the nature of the Lamb. There's your token. By the time we reach paragraph 123, Brother Ram is letting us know that every nation will be hit by the judgments. So there's no place that will be safe outside the token. Those judgments will be in the form of every judgment that you see in Deuteronomy 28, which you don't have time to go into this morning, but there will be a very, very great depression affecting the world. The economies of the world are going to fail. They are already failing. They're printing money like it's going out of business. I mean, they are printing so much money that this nation alone is $21 trillion in debt. $21 trillion. Can anybody fathom what $21 trillion is? I saw something that explained it. I think one brother, Gary, might have seen the same thing. They take one skid, 3x3, and 3 feet high, stack it with $100 bills, and you have $1 million. Now, $1 million could take you all the way through your retirement. $1 trillion would be putting that skid on 2 football fields and filling those 2 football fields. Walter ought to know how big that is. Filling that 2 stadiums, 2 skids high. That's $1 trillion. Now add 21 more of those 2 stadiums. So 40, was it 42 stadiums? 42 football stadiums, 6 feet high in $100 bills. And that's what this nation is in debt to. The world is $200 trillion in debt. And the banks are $4 quadrillion because they've been gambling with your money. Even the head of the I can't remember what his title was, but he was one of the top officials, banking officials of the Central Bank of Scotland told the people in Scotland, get your money out of everything that's paper. They believe this year is going to fall. I do too. When it falls, the whole world, what are you going to do for groceries? Your debit cards won't work. Your credit cards won't work. How are you going to eat? If you're on Social Security, forget it. You won't get it. If you're on a military pension, forget it. You won't get it. What are you going to do? You see, we've never been under a situation like that before. There are certain nations have. Argentina went through it before, and they're going through it again. One day that people came to the bank and the bank doors were locked. People wanted their money. They couldn't get it. They rioted in the streets. They burnt and everything else. What's that going to do for you? You can't replace it. Listen, when the economic judgment, I think, is going to be the greatest of the judgments, but you wait. It's just not there. Men will go stir crazy. Every time there's been depression, man goes to war to get the people's mind off of their depression. They find an enemy, it's their fault. Like the Germans did with the Jews. Like Nero did with the Christians. It's their fault. And they go to war. And war brings pestilence. It brings disease. And in this hour, it's not just war. It's not just nuclear war. That's going to be the final. But this germ warfare. You know, this Zika virus that they're trying to make they're trying to bring more fear. See, everything since 2001, you know, has been fear, fear, fear. It's fear here, fear there. Fear of the terrorists, fear of this and that. If the United States would just meddle in their own business, we wouldn't have terrorism. They just leave us alone, we leave them alone. They go over, they want to kill each other, the Shiites and the Muslims and the Sunnis, let them kill each other. But it's become an international scope because you've got international people pulling international deals. And we're living in it. If you were born after 77, you were born into the decay of America and the end of the world. As I said, by the time we reach 123, paragraph 123, Brother Brown is letting us know that every nation will be hit by the judgment, so there's no place to flee except for into Christ. Those judgments will be in the form of every judgment you see in Deuteronomy 28, and I said we don't have time to go into those, but there'll be great depression affecting the whole world. The economies of the world are going to fail. They're already failing. Then we'll see germ warfare like we've never seen before, and then the earth itself and the weather patterns, and then the judgments from the heavens. All of this is building up the stress upon man until a nuclear war will become inevitable and the end of life on earth as we know it. But we have a token to deliver us, and that is what the sermon is about. I'm not here to preach fear, fear, fear to you. I'm here to preach there's a way out of it. If you choose it. Brother Brown says, look, Joshua. Wish we had time to read it. Mark it down. Joshua, the second chapter. Now listen. As I mentioned before, there's germ warfare already going on. You know, the big companies, pharmaceuticals called Merck. You know what Merck was in World War I? They were a biological warfare company. They made the mustard gas for the Germans that they used in the Black Forest, you know, when they had the big battle there. You know who Bayer is? Bayer also was a biological weapons manufacturer for the Germans. Household names today, they got their starts making agents to kill. And you don't think their vaccines aren't doing that? Come on, people. Smarten up. smarten up. Just because the AMA says it doesn't make it so. There's plenty of evidence around the world that the five Marisol and all the additives they're putting in the vaccines are killing children. And they're killing adults. This Zika disease shrinks the head in the womb. So the baby's born and he's got a little teeny head like a cannibal. You know, like, remember the old movies where they have the heads all shrunken down? Do you know that that agent that does that, the agent, the chemical that does that, it's a Brazilian company, manufactures a chemical for killing weeds and things like that. And that agent is in that chemical. It's basically their version of Roundup. You know, that has been around since, I believe it is 1969 is what I read. I'd be wrong on that. It was developed. But now they're putting it into mosquitoes. And Bill Gates, oh, lovely Bill Gates. His scientists, which he brought together, are genetically altering mosquitoes, he claims, so that they can be free of malaria. That's a lie. They are biologically being implanted with these diseases so that they can reduce the population of the world. It's in the works. Agenda 29. It's in the stones there over in Georgia. They plan to reduce the population of the world to 500 million people. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's the truth. The same German scientists that were killing people in Germany were brought to America, of all places. And right here in Cincinnati. Some of them brought right here in Cincinnati. And they took the black people in Cincinnati, 90 of them. And they injected them with nuclear waste to see how it would affect human beings. Isn't that lovely? Good grief. The sins of this nation are heaped up to God. They began by wiping out the Indians in this country. The people who were here first. When the Spaniards came over to South America, you know what they did? They took people that had, what was that big disease? Smallpox. And they scraped the boils onto handkerchiefs and they mixed it in the food of the Aztecs and the Mayans. And the people died of these great diseases. That's your lovely Catholic Spaniards. Germ warfare. It's been around for a long time, brother, sister. Look, Joshua, wish we had time to read it. Mark it down, Joshua, the second chapter, believing Gentile, harlot, Rahab. Oh, I just wish it was about 9 o'clock. I'd like to take that and just show you, brother, that harlot, that Gentile, watch. All her family, she was a believer, all her family had to get under that scarlet token, that token. They had to go under it or they perished. They had heard of the wrath of God. They had heard of the displaying signs and miracles of God among his people. And they had to receive it. She had to receive it. God's destroying angel was coming. They knew it. Joshua was that angel. They were in line. And so was every nation in the world in line of God's judgment. This little harlot, she had heard. Faith cometh by hearing. She said, all the country is disturbed about you. That's right. So she found out that there was something going on in the supernatural. She said, I want to investigate this. How many people say, oh, nonsense, I got my church, got our doctrine. She investigated, she found there's something about it. And they said, here's a token. Apply this token, and not only you, but your kids, your family, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, get them all here under this token. And they'll be saved from the wrath that's coming. In paragraph 125, Brother Brown lets us know that the token is displayed or manifested by God in the form of signs and wonders to get the attention of the people so they will know that this is a supernatural thing taking place. And God, being a supernatural being, identified his token in a supernatural way. And he's done it in this hour. There's no doubting it. People that say, well, I used to believe Brother Brown was a prophet of Malachi 4, but I don't believe that anymore. Open your eyes. Don't be stupid. And I use the word stupid because that's the only word I know that fits the bill. Open their eyes. When have we ever seen the things that God done in this hour, in any other hour? When have we seen the whole world going at war with each other, economics falling apart, and everything? We know we're at the end time, and they're looking for another Malachi to come? Malachi prophet 4? Good grief. You talk about stupidity and foolishness. Foolishness is too good a word. Stupidity is too good a word. Like Brother Grant said on the reverse side, sublime. There's no word to explain where we're going. Sublime, superb. He said, it's just beyond our comprehension, beyond words to explain. Well, so is people that would walk away from what God has done in this hour. Sure. Because the prophet had a chronological mishap with placing things. I'm going to tell you something. When God gives a prophet a vision, it's no different than when he gives you a dream. He doesn't explain it.
That's right.
The prophet gives, he receives the vision, he says, okay, based on my understanding, I think that I saw these people, they looked like Indian, and I've been in Durban, and they were all Indian there, so I think that I might be going back to Durban. Later on, he says, no, that vision was fulfilled in India. They say, see, he didn't get it right. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He said it was fulfilled in India. But they refused to take the correction. And when you don't take the correction, it proves you're bastard born.
Sure.
That's what the Bible says. In paragraph 125, Brother Man lets us know the token is displayed or manifested in a supernatural way. It says, notice Jericho had heard what God was doing. They didn't want to take the warning. And there isn't a denomination in this country around but what's heard what God is doing. They don't want to take the warning. His great power and signs have been displayed. What he done? He crossed right through the Dead Sea as if it was dry land. He created things and made frogs and lice and fleas to come into the air, created them by his word through his prophet. That was no secret. They noted it. And Rahab said, I've heard that. I don't want to perish with those unbelievers. No, sir. She knew judgment had to follow it because they was right in line. She noted it, so they made a way for her to escape. I like that. Then by paragraph 138, Brother Brown lets us know that those who have witnessed the supernatural nature of God's message of mercy not only recognize it, but begin to act upon it. And then God confirms his acceptance of their belief, and he seals them into his token via John 14:12. For 14 days they studied the nature of the Lamb. 2 sevens. And he seals them into a token via John 14:12, the supernatural word that they heard, that they recognized, and then they become one with that word, and they begin to act upon it and act out that word, showing they're sealed in to the token. And the very supernatural nature of God is now confirmed in them, having the same nature, they have the same character. 138. And it displays his power. John 14:12. It says, he that believeth on me, excuse me, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. New Testament is new covenant, new life. Shows Jesus has met every requirement for us that God required to make us back truly sons and daughters of God under the blood where there is no more condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are, not those who are believing it, but those who are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And my word is spirit and life. Oh, couldn't I take that for a text and just stay there a couple more hours? I won't hurry over it. You see, no more condemnation, free from sin, free from the cares of the world, no condemned. Why? To them that have it by one Spirit, baptized into one body, there the blood of the Lamb has been applied. The God of heaven has accepted you and your and his life is in you, and you are sons and daughters of God. Your character is God's character. So if your character is God's character, your nature is God's nature. And if your nature is God's nature, the things he did, you're going to do. That's John 14, 12. That's why he said it. What is it? It's a little pushover? No, sir. God's a God of judgment. He's a God of correct. He must be on the line. Nothing else will do. That's the kind of character you are because you're the character of your Father. See? Now watch. So by the time we arrive at paragraph 151, we see that not only has the supernatural God come as a token, but those who have heard it, recognized it, and acted upon it are not only are sealed in themselves by the token, but God allows them to apply it for others and bring loved ones into the same safety net of the token that was given to them. This is very significant. Because up to this point, we see God, he's on the scene, we see his presence, we see supernatural presence, we hear it, we act upon it, we recognize it, act upon it, and now it begins, that character, that nature begins to move in us, we are sealed in, and now he says, okay, now your cup's going to begin to overflow. You got loved ones you want to get in? Apply for them. What a gracious God. Rahab, you were kind to us, Rahab. We know nothing about your family. We don't know if they're whatever state or condition they're in. But you, Rahab, were kind to us. So you can take that gift that we give you and use it for your family.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Why do you think Isaiah says, chapter 64, and all their offspring with them? I don't worry about my children. I don't worry about yours. You apply that token, and all your offspring with you. They might look like they're wayward, might have troubles. Brother Brown said Job's children were out partying, eating, drinking, being merry. And Job applied the token, believing maybe they're sinning. He said they weren't even living under his roof. He said some of them were married, living in their own homes. But he applied the token for them, and God saved every one of them. You talk about the greatest works. There's nothing greater than imparting life. Notice, building up. Can you see these stages that Brother Brown was laying out here? Getting us to see God's on the scene. Getting us to see it's a token for us. Getting us to receive it, act upon it. And then now, he's giving it to you to give it. That's beautiful. That's what they did in Egypt. That's what they did in Jericho. If you want to read another one, Acts 16:31. Three's a witness. Paul told the centurion, believe. He said, believe on the messenger of the hour. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou and thy house shall be saved. Is that right? Believe for your house. Bring them all. A-double-L. All under it. Now you've seen the God of heaven perform a miracle just before judgment. You believe it? Yes. What can I do? He said, rise and be baptized. Paul took him out and baptized him and said, now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and thy house shall be saved. Believe what? Believe the Lord Jesus Christ for your house. Apply the token to your house. Then what do you do when you apply it to your house? Move all the trash out. Get all the short skirts and the shorts and the cards and the cigarettes, the televisions, whatever more, kick them out the door. You're going to apply the token. It won't stand still for it. Yes, sir. Take it all out. All the dances and parties and rock and roll, old vulgar newspapers and stuff of the world, kick it out the door and say, we're cleaning up this place around here. Why? Giving evidence that the house is under the token. Now, then in paragraph 176, Brother Brown brings us to the conclusion that those who have the token and those who have applied it have not one thing to worry about. He says, as Israel sat there and the screen was going on out in the street. Notice. Let me read that again. As the screen was going on out in the street. Remember, we won't go through the tribulation. but it'll be knocking at the door. That's what Brother Branham said. We read it in the beginning of the sermon. And here he says, as the screams was going out there in the street, they didn't have one thing to worry about. Only thing, just be sure the blood, the token was showing. That's the only thing we have to worry right now. There's trouble in the making, friends. It ain't going to be long. Trouble striking, you know that. Be sure the token's showing, and the token is the Holy Spirit. For one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body and made partakers of His glory. On our lap home march now to the Promised Land. Do you love Him? Do you believe the token? How many would like to say, oh, Brother Brown, pray for me that I will come under this token? Let us bow our heads. Now that we've established a series of events concerning the token message, the recognition of that message, the application of the token, the effect it has upon the safety of those who have it and have applied it, we can now go into more detail about the judgments that are developing on their way all over the world, even now as we speak. Now, in this sermon this morning, we're going to begin to examine Brother Brown's thought process concerning the token and the judgments. We'll show you many things he said concerning the two and take it to the scriptures as well, so that you can see where he's coming from when he says these words. From Jezebel Religion, Brother Branham said, when God sends forth a message and tells the people and they don't receive it, then he withdraws his servants, he sends his plagues, famine, death, spiritually speaking, physically too. You watch for a depression, brother. You think you've seen something. You just wait after a while. You haven't seen nothing. You think you're dying for a good spiritual revival. You wait till after a bit. You just wait. You long and cry to hear the word of God. The Bible says so. There'll be famine in the land in the last days, says the Lord, or said the prophet. And not for bread and water alone, which means it's going to be for bread and water. Yeah, there's going to be a famine throughout all the world for bread and water, but not that alone. But for hearing the true word of God. For that voice will be quiet in the wilderness somewhere, hidden away. He ordained the ravens, his servants, bless them birds, his servants, that kept the voice of Elijah alive during the time of his isolation from the church. Now, there are those people who think he meant a spiritual depression, which I can understand why that they think that. But you'll see by the scripture and by other things, Brother Ram tells us there's coming an economic depression on the scale that the world has never seen before. From Daniel 8, verse 23 to 25, it says, in the latter time, that means in this last days, of their kingdom, when the transgressors, what's transgressors? Those who go beyond the limits. Limits of what? Well, it used to be, for as long as creation has been, one man, one woman, and a man shall marry a wife. They've gone beyond those limits now. Man can marry man. Next thing, man can marry beast. They've gone beyond all the limits. This nation used to be a Christian nation. Now it's run by a Muslim. He can go to a mosque, but he won't enter a church. If he does, he wants the crucifix covered over. Oh, yeah. The Bible says the foreigner shall come in and become the head. I believe if Obama doesn't stop the next election, then we'll probably get someone from Canada. Okay? So the Bible says the foreigner shall become the head. When the transgressors are come to the fullness or completion, a king of fierce countenance, mighty, having a mighty presence, and under dark sentences, that means double dealings, shall stand up and shall present himself or come on the scene. And his power, his wealth, shall be mighty, it shall be vast. But not by his own power. In other words, he didn't make it on his own. He's not a Donald Trump type of guy. Not by his own ability to produce wealth, which means he gets it from others. Over $1 billion spent to put Obama into office. $1 billion. Didn't come out of his pocket. He's never held a job in his life. I mean, if you call a street rabble rouser a job, and he shall destroy wonderfully, bring to ruin perversion and corruption, and shall prosper, which means makes great profits, and practice, bring about a press or a squeeze. That's what that word practice. And shall destroy, bring to ruin the mighty, the many nations and the holy people, the set apart nation of God, the Jews. Yeah. Who's destroying Israel right now? Doing everything they can. Dismantle it. Split it in half. Do everything they can. Arm all the Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood have just one, they have one goal. And that's take over the world and kill all the Jews in the process. Why do you think Egypt was overrun? Our government installed the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, we have something like five advisors in the administration that are belong to the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, we have people in the highest levels of the FBI and the CIA in the Muslim Brotherhood. Traitors. And the Bible says, traitors, heady, high-minded, love is a pleasure, more love is God. Truce breakers, incontinent. And through his policy, also he shall cause craft, this manufacturing, to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace or quietness and ease and prosperity he shall destroy, corrupt, pervert, and ruin many. He shall also stand up, that he may stand forth and present himself against, or on behalf, or on account of the Prince of Princes, Christ. But he shall be broken without hand when the final act is played out. I believe this is the Pope.
Amen.
Coming in the name of Jesus. The vicar of who? Well, that's what they say. The Antichrist. On the scene. Who's pulling all the strings right now on Wall Street? Vatican. Who's been pulling the strings? Vatican. When they had the first G5 summit, there were six signatures on the summit documents. The sixth signature was the Secretary of State of the Vatican. Oh, what's the little dinky country that's only one square mile doing signing with the five largest economies of the world? Because they're the ones that call for the meeting. They're the ones that started instrumenting all these things. They're the ones that have been pushing for the Keynesian printing of money for one purpose. Let them think that they can just spend, and be taken care of, they can just print the money, and then they wake up one day and they say, oh, how are we going to pay for all this? Then they step forward and say, hey, you know, we've been collecting gold for 2,000 years. We have the gold of all the Incas and the Mayans and the Aztecs. We have it all. Now, you know, if you just sign on the dotted line here, signing your soul away, we'll bail you out. You don't think that these politicians, which have no God, that have no scruples, won't do that? They can talk to you and tell you one thing and talk to somebody else who believes just the opposite and tell them what they want to hear? I first saw that with Clinton back 20 years ago. Or almost 20 years ago. On the East Coast, he was telling a group one thing, and then I heard him in an afternoon speech in the Midwest, where they're more morally inclined, ethically inclined, family inclined. He's telling me just the opposite. And I thought, that dirty, rotten rat. He's just telling them what they want to hear. But isn't that a politician? Second Thessalonians, Paul. Verse 3 to 13. Let no man deceive you by any means. That means through television, through radio, through the pulpits, through things you read. For that day shall not come except to come a falling away first.
Sure.
So, I have people, and one wrote me last night about 1 o'clock in the morning. Why did you say on your website, blah, blah, blah? And I wrote back and said, well, I didn't say it. Brother Vail said it. Brother Milton gone since 2012. But when you get to the other side, you can ask him. Get tired of answering people's questions. What was Brother Vail's motive for doing such and such or saying such and such? Listen, that's between you, that's between God and Brother Vail. Why did Brother Branham say, well, I think it was Durban, South Africa, and later on say, no, I was wrong, it was India. That's his business. That's not my business. God gave him a vision of a bear. It's not my business to say which bear it is. It's not my business to say how it's going to be fulfilled. That's a vision God gave him. It's like, I can't tell Don what his dreams mean when God gives him a dream, or any of you. But sometimes God gives you a dream to warn you. Or to let you. It's for your comfort. It's for your assurance. It's not up to me to go around telling people unless I'm a prophet. And I'm not a prophet. So I look at Brother Branham. His visions were his. They're none of my business. Unless he said, I've got a vision that one day there's going to be a young man named Brian Kazor come along. Oh, that vision's for me. I want to hear about it. But when he has a vision about a bear, or has a vision and says it's fulfilled a certain way, they say, No, it wasn't. 16 people had a vision. 16 people died. Oh, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. Listen, who are you? Were you there? And then when you tell them of people that were eyewitnesses, they say, that's just hearsay evidence. Oh, is that right? I said, then throw out your Bible because it's all hearsay. It's all hearsay. Luke wasn't on the scene when Jesus was walking around. He came later. He was a physician. Paul converted. But he said, hey, I've got a crystal clear understanding. I've talked to these brethren. I know. Now, we take it and we say, that's the Word of God. But you won't take the Word of God from a prophet that had thus saith the Lord 10,000 times? Didn't mean to shake you up, Peter. You know, who are people to judge a prophet? God judges him by answering what he says, thus saith the Lord, and come to pass. And so they say, well, this one didn't come to pass yet, or this one didn't come to pass, so it's wrong. Listen, what was it, 700 years after Isaiah said a virgin shall conceive? It took 700 years. Can you imagine the people in the 100 years later? Oh, he must have been a false prophet. He spoke presumptuously just this one time. But, you know, it was all pretty good stuff, but, you know, that one there, oh, no, that just disqualifies him. Does it? Who's to say Brother Branham doesn't get his bear in the millennium? Oh, you say, well, that's ridiculous. Is it? No more ridiculous than to say that a virgin will conceive and 700 years later she does. Or to hear the prophet Isaiah say the Lord will turn the earth upside down. Oh, come on. You know, the earth is flat. If we turn it upside down, we'd all fall into space. Isaiah also says about the circle of the earth. You see, people take and choose and pick and choose what they want to believe. And you know what they do? They're not under the token. And you know what happens? Judgment strikes. Let no man deceive you by any means. Could come from television, watching the politicians. Could come on the radio from some Baptist preacher preaching his Trinity or whatever they do. It could be from people focusing on the family instead of focusing on Christ. Mm-hmm. You focus on the family, you're going to be quite disappointed. Focus on Christ. Mm-hmm. He didn't say get the people, get your family under the family. He said get them under Christ. So let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he, as God, as the vicar, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself, hey, I'm Papa. I'm the vicar, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Who's withholding? Now listen. There's a difference between he who now letteth and he who's withholding. Because he says, and you know that what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth it happen will let. Until he be taken out of the way. The Raleigh translation says, until he be taken out of the midst of humanity. Brother Branham said, he who letteth is the Holy Spirit, who will let these things be until he leaves the midst of humanity and takes us up in a rapture with him to meet the Son of Man. And then, after the Holy Spirit leaves the earth and we're taken up with him, shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, his parousia. You see, the parousia of Christ has informed us of what is to happen. It destroys the plan of the evil one for those who believe and are sealed into the token. But when the parousia of Christ leaves the earth, then the parousia of the evil one is revealed. That's what it says. Even him whose coming, whose parousia, is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Isn't it interesting that when that cloud picture was taken, which they didn't know where that came from, it just appeared one day, and it started moving southwesterly toward Arizona, toward New Mexico. Shortly after that one appeared, another one appeared, because a missile had gone up, had been launched, and it was going off target, so the government had to explode it. And the missile exploded and formed a ring. Not that, but a ring. That's a head. Formed a ring. Much smaller. Lasted about 4 hours. So we have people today say, oh, see, that was the cause by a missile. They didn't read the report of Dr. McDonald that said, hey, there was two clouds. Two clouds. As the brothers who saw when Brother Branham was up in the mountain and the pillar, the column of light was going up and down, up and down, up and down. He said, Brother Branham, there was another column that was going up and down, up and down, up and down. It was a black column. Parousia of Christ, parousia of Satan. This one's revealed. That one is getting ready to be revealed. Revealed means manifested. Hallelujah. Even him whose parousia is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? They didn't have the love of the truth. For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. That the Almighty began to believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning, Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 4, from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I think I'm going to close here. We're only at page 8. And we've got 20 pages. And then I've got another 20 pages that I haven't added to this yet. So we're just going to take this into a mini-series. But I want you to understand one thing. And we're going to get into, I don't know if Wednesday or maybe next Sunday, but I'm going to get into 1977, all these things, how they fit perfectly in line, as I mentioned to you before. Because Brother Branham says in the churching book, is very clear, there's two things in 77. He said, it'll bring the end of the world system as you know it. And I'm going to show you how that was a Bretton Woods system that all the world was under a gold-backed system until 71. But by 77, the U.S. owed France, they owed Swiss, and France, and Germany was the first one to leave the Bretton Woods Accord, then Switzerland did. And then from that point on, from 68 to, no, from... 67, 68, 69, 70, and 71, in those 5 years, the dollar value went down by 50% of its buying value. It was inflation of 50% over 5 years. Could you handle 50% inflation today? Now, maybe if you had lots of money in the bank, you'd be getting interest on it. But you don't have lots of money in the bank. And if you do have lots of money in the bank, it's going to be taken from you because they've already done it in Cyprus. They've got to do it, brother, sister. They got to put everybody to become servants. Just like it was back in the old middle, in the dark ages. You had certain rulers that had their castle kingdoms, and they were subservient to the Pope, and everybody else was their servant. Why do you think they've dumbed down the education of the students? I wouldn't have my child in a public school. Not for 1 minute. They don't teach them anything. You know that we spend the most money in America on our students. You know, back then, I remember preaching on the dumbing down of America back about almost 20 years ago, and at that time, Cincinnati was $7,500 per student. I think it was $13,500 in Washington, D.C. You know, we spend the most amount of money on education of all the nations, and yet we are number 30. There are third world countries that the students come out and they have a better education than they have in this country. Now, why? Why, if we're spending so much money, it's to dumb down the kids so they become a bunch of laborers. And now they sent all the labor to Mexico and different places, so you had no jobs. You got out of even college with a degree. And you say, well, I'm going to vote for Obama because he's going to pay off my college, and he's going to give me a cell phone, and he's going to do this for me and that for me. And people just think they graduate just imbeciles. Totally imbeciles. Yeah. So, this is ours. I'm sorry. Precious Father, we just ask the Lord to help the people understand. We're living in a battle. But you know, the greatest battle ever fought is in our heart, in our mind. Help us, O God, to die to ourselves and have evidence, fruits meet for repentance. Help us to have the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering, and all those. Help us, O God, beyond everything else, to be so focused on going home, so in love with you that you would, and you so in love with us, so in love with you that you would not leave. You would never leave us nor forsake us. This we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. You people are living in the grandest time ever on earth.